Picture this. You're on a cross-country cruising at 4,500 feet. The sky is clear. You glance at your electronic flight bag, or EFB. No traffic on the screen. You hand-fly the whole leg, land, grab lunch. Later, you check one of the flight tracking websites. Three other aircraft flew within 5 miles of you during that same 20-minute window. Your ADS-B traffic display showed nothing. That's not a glitch. That's a gap in the surveillance system most pilots don't know exists. I'm Vector. This is Cleared Direct on Radio Hangar, and today we're going deeper than the mandate. We're going to talk about what actually fills your traffic picture, why it sometimes fails without telling you, and why an empty screen is not the same thing as clear sky. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. If you want to mark the real milestones in aviation, first solo, private certificate, instrument rating, CFI, they make aviation challenge coins that are beautifully crafted and built to last. AviationSoul.com. Most pilots think of automatic dependent surveillance broadcast or ADS-B traffic as one thing. Your airplane picks up other airplanes. The screen shows traffic. Done. But there are actually two fundamentally different kinds of traffic targets on that display, and they behave very differently in ways that matter to your safety. The first kind is a direct ADS-B target. Another airplane equipped with ADS-B out is transmitting its own global positioning system, position, altitude, velocity, and identification directly over radio frequency. Your onboard receiver picks that signal up with no middleman. The target on your screen updates roughly once per second and represents where that aircraft is within about 1 second of real time. The second kind is something most pilots have never specifically thought about. It's called the Traffic Information Service Broadcast, or TISB. And this is where things get genuinely interesting. TISB is not aircraft talking to aircraft. TISB is a Federal Aviation Administration ground station watching radar, capturing returns from aircraft that do not have ADS-B out equipment, and then rebroadcasting those radar targets upward to equipped aircraft in the area. Your receiver picks those up the same way it picks up direct targets. They appear on the same display. In many configurations, they use similar-looking symbols. A lot of pilots treat them identically. They are not identical. Here's what most people miss about TISB. Radar is not GPS. Radar refreshes on a sweep cycle, typically 4 to 5 seconds per revolution. That target position is already several seconds old the moment the sweep completes. Then the ground station processes the return, formats it as a TISB message, and broadcasts it on the uplink frequency. By the time your receiver decodes it and your EFB renders it on screen, you could be looking at traffic data that is 12 to 15 seconds stale. For a light aircraft doing 100 knots, 15 seconds of movement is roughly 400 feet. A faster target, say a business jet at 220 knots, could have moved nearly half a mile from the position shown on your screen. Does that mean TISB is useless? Absolutely not. Before ADS-B existed, pilots had essentially zero in cockpit traffic awareness. TISB extends that picture to non-ADS-B aircraft showing up on radar. The old Cessna 152 without upgraded avionics. The glider tracked on a transponder squawk, the helicopter doing touch and goes in the pattern. Those contacts would be completely invisible on your screen without TISB. That is a genuine safety benefit. But you need to understand what you're looking at to use it well. Now here's the part of this story that doesn't get enough attention. The ground stations, the FAA, built a network of approximately 700 ADS-B ground stations across the continental United States as part of the Next Gen Modernization Program. Construction ramped up through the early 2010s, in the years leading toward the January 1st, 2020 mandate. These stations do two things. They receive ADS-B out signals from aircraft and relay them to air traffic control, and they transmit uplinks back down to ADS-B in equipped aircraft, which is where your TISB traffic and Flight Information Service Broadcast, or FISB, weather originate. The key word in that second sentence is down. Those ground stations are transmitting downward to you, and for that signal to reach you, your aircraft needs to be within radio line of sight of the station. That sounds straightforward, but here's the physics problem. Ground stations are mounted at fixed heights on towers, buildings, and elevated terrain. Their signals propagate outward in roughly a cone shape. Good, solid coverage at altitude. Sharply degraded coverage near the surface. Add mountain ranges, ridgelines, and deep valley geography, and you end up with a patchwork of blind spots at low altitude that the next-gen build-out never fully solved. The FAA publishes ADS-B coverage analysis data. The agency maps predicted coverage floors across the country, showing the minimum altitude at which you can expect to receive a ground station signal in different geographic areas. In the flat Midwest and Southeast, coverage floors are typically around 3,000 to 4,000 feet above sea level. In the Mountain West, the Northern Rockies, the complex terrain of Alaska, those floors can be 8,000 feet, 10,000 feet, even higher. A pilot flying an approach into a mountain airport sitting at 6,000 feet elevation, entering the pattern at 8 or 9,000 mean sea level, may be completely outside any ground station's reach. And here's the subtle danger in all of this. Your screen doesn't show red X's where coverage ends. It doesn't alarm. It doesn't flag itself as degraded. It just shows nothing. An empty traffic display in a coverage gap looks identical to an empty traffic display when there genuinely is no traffic nearby. The silence of the system and the silence of the sky look exactly the same. ForeFlight and some other applications have started addressing this. ForeFlight has an ADS-B status indicator within its traffic layer. When your device is actively receiving a ground station uplink, the indicator shows that, when you're out of coverage, it changes. That's a useful diagnostic, but you have to know to look for it, and a lot of pilots don't. Let me add one more layer here, because this is where it gets technical but also very practical. When your aircraft is in coverage, the TISB uplink is what the FAA calls ownership biased. The ground station knows approximately where you are. Because you're broadcasting your position via ADS-B out, it tailors the uplink to transmit traffic within roughly 15 nautical miles of your position. Not everything it sees across an entire sector. That's clever system design. It reduces frequency congestion, manages data load, and keeps the traffic picture relevant to where you're actually flying.
But the implication is this. If the ground station can't reach you, not only do you lose TISB, you lose FISB weather too. The two services ride the same uplink channel. They fail together. Many pilots notice stale weather data in flight. If your meteorological aerodrome reports or METARs haven't updated in several minutes, something changed in your coverage picture. What fewer pilots realize is that when FISB goes dark, TISB goes with it. If you're flying through a mountain valley and your weather has stopped refreshing, treat your traffic screen as showing only direct ADS-B targets. The TISB relay picture is gone. Now here's where the 978 MHz and 1090 MHz question enters the story. Because your specific equipment matters more than most pilots realize. When the FAA designed ADS-B out, they created two frequencies. 1090 MHz extended squitter is the global standard, required for aircraft operating above 10,000 feet above sea level or within the Mode C veils around Class Bravo and Class Charlie airspace. 978 MHz Universal Access Transceiver, or UAT, was designed specifically for general aviation operating below 18,000 feet in United States airspace. UAT was supposed to be the primary GA solution. Less expensive equipment, purpose-built for the light aircraft community, and with more uplink data bandwidth than 1090 MHz, meaning UAT ground stations can deliver richer TISB and FISB content to UAT-equipped aircraft. What actually happened to UAT adoption is an interesting story. The technology worked, but the price gap between UAT and 1090 MHz equipment narrowed significantly over the years. Pilots who flew to Canada or Mexico found that 978 MHz NEA is a United States-only standard. Cross the border and the UAT side goes dark. Over time, many pilots and operators chose 1090 MHz anyway, trading FISB data bandwidth for global compatibility. Today, the GA fleet is a mix. Some aircraft have UAT only, some have 1090 MHz only, some have both. And the distinction matters because a 1090 MHz only receiver with no UAT receive path does not get TISB uplinks from the FAA ground network. The TISB architecture was primarily designed to serve UAT-equipped aircraft. A 1090-only installation gets direct aircraft ADS-B traffic from other 1090 aircraft, but not the radar relay picture of non-ADS-B traffic that TISB provides. Garmin's dual-link receivers, products like the GDL-50 and GDL-84 series, receive both 978 and 1090 MHz simultaneously. That gives you the most complete traffic picture when you're in ground station coverage. Some portable ADS-B receivers cover UAT only, or 1090 only. Knowing which you have is not a minor detail. One more thing worth saying explicitly. Non-ADS-B aircraft don't automatically appear in TIS-B just because they're flying. They have to be transponder equipped and actively squawking for radar to capture them. An ultralight with no transponder at all, an experimental aircraft not squawking. A glider without any radio equipment, those aircraft generate no radar return and therefore no TIS-B target. They won't appear on your screen regardless of your equipment or your coverage status. TIS-B extends the traffic picture meaningfully, but it extends it to transponder visible non-ADS-B aircraft, not to everything airborne. That distinction matters every time you fly near airports where gliders, ultralights, and vintage aircraft operate regularly. A quick word on TCAS, because some pilots hear this conversation and wonder whether the airliners flying overhead deal with the same blind spots. Traffic Collision Avoidance System is a completely separate active interrogation system used on larger aircraft. TCAS sends its own interrogations outward, receives direct transponder replies from nearby aircraft, and calculates collision geometry independent of any ground infrastructure. An airliner at flight level 350 is not dependent on TIS-B. Its TCAS is interrogating the sky directly. The low altitude coverage gap that affects a Cessna 172 on an EFB doesn't apply to the airliner's collision avoidance in the same way. Most general aviation aircraft don't have TCAS. The ADS-B in system is the traffic awareness tool for the GA fleet. Understanding its actual limits is what separates an informed crew from one who trusts a tool they don't fully understand. So what do we do with all of this? Know your equipment. If you're not certain whether your ADS-B installation includes a UAT receiver or is 1090 MHz only, find out. Check your avionics installation paperwork or call your shop. The difference determines whether you're receiving TIS-B service at all. Check the FAA coverage maps before low-altitude legs. The ground station coverage analysis is publicly available through the FAA's ADS-B documentation. If you're planning a mountain cross-country or any extended flying below 5,000 feet in complex terrain, knowing the coverage floor for your route tells you what to expect from your traffic display. Watch your weather timestamps in flight. If FISB weather has stopped updating, assume TIS-B coverage is gone too. Adjust your assumptions accordingly, and at pattern altitude, especially near non-towered airports, keep the eyes outside the cockpit as your primary traffic tool. The visual flight rules principle of see and avoid exists precisely because no surveillance system covers every aircraft in every corner of every traffic pattern. The FAA says it explicitly. ADS-B traffic is a supplement, not a replacement. The agency has expanded and improved the ground station network over the years since the original next-gen build-out. Software upgrades have extended effective coverage in some regions. But mountain terrain is not moving. The physics of line-of-sight signal propagation doesn't change with additional stations. The gaps at low altitude in complex terrain are a structural feature of a ground-based surveillance system, not an engineering oversight that will eventually be engineered away. The long-term path to closing those gaps runs through space-based surveillance, receiving ADS-B signals from orbit where line-of-sight limitations disappear entirely. That capability exists and operates today for oceanic and remote airspace. Integrating it more deeply into the domestic low-altitude picture is a longer-term effort. The data tells an interesting story when you look at mid-air collision reports and safety database near-miss filings. A disproportionate number of close calls involve low-altitude operations near non-towered airports. The exact environment where TIS-B coverage is thinnest and non-ADS-B aircraft are most common. Whether the coverage gap is a direct contributing factor or simply correlates with high traffic, high proximity flying is hard to cleanly isolate, probably both are true. But knowing that the traffic picture at pattern altitude is the least reliable version of your traffic picture is worth carrying into every downwind entry. My sources for this segment include FAA ADS-B program documentation, the agency's ground station coverage analysis reports, technical specifications from Garmin on their ADS-B receiver product line, and reporting from AOPA and Aviation Consumer on real-world ADS-B performance testing in varied terrain. More at RadioHangar.com. I'm Vector. The screen doesn't alarm when it's lying to you. That part is on us.